It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
It came to Rome.
And Karan.
Ciao a tutti.
All right, as you can tell, we are all very cock-a-hoop about the fact that Italy are Euro champions, not least because Italy is the international team that all the three panelists on Soccer Sense are fans of. As any loyal listener will recall, we had quite the doomsday and the saddest episode about 4 years ago, Vishal. When
yeah, you could actually hear us almost sigh on that through the entire recording.
When Italy were knocked out after that playoff against Sweden and did not take part in the 2018 World Cup. In a way, this is a culmination of what has happened since then. It has ended a half a century long wait, or more than half a century actually, long wait for Italy to win the European Championships again. It has kept England's tally for European Championships, unfortunately, at zero.
Did not
end their wait of 55 years for a major trophy. But all that aside, we are here, gentlemen, to put the Soccer Sense meter and look through it on this a final clash, which turned out to be a way more intense game than anybody had bargained for, probably. Particularly coming towards the end of such a bruising and intense tournament, where the quality of football at various points of time had been quite good, and some of those games had indeed included a couple of, both of these teams actually. But let's get to the match. Quick recap for anybody again who has been living under a rock. Italy won, England won.
That must be one hell of a rock.
Italy winning on penalties 3-2 eventually. It did go to all the 10 penalties were taken. Astonishingly, 5 of them were missed. And we will talk about that in just a moment. But let's go through the match chronologically and break it down in classic Soccer Sense style. And we'll begin with you, Vishal. England put out an expected side on the field. And before there could be any real tactics on display, they had gone ahead by a goal. Quick word on the goal and what followed.
I think the most deceiving thing that could happen to England was that goal coming in so early, right? Because one, it was not a tactical genius that they got that goal out of. It was pure, it was just very early in the game and an unsettled Italian team, right? Like a settled Italian team would never let anybody sneak from behind and score that goal. So credit to England for making the move and executing it the way they did. But that was pretty much the end of England's participation as such through the rest of the game, right? Because they're taking that early lead almost gave Southgate the confidence that he's made the right move with regards to his formation, with regards to his choice of players. But the one thing I think Southgate really got wrong as a context over here, right? Because this formation worked very well against a slow and not necessarily a top tier informed Germany team, right? So worked well against a German squad, but not against an Italian team that has a robust midfield, right? Yes, in the first 45 minutes, it was England. England looked like they had the whole game in control, but that's where management really came into place, right? Where Mancini made some crucial tactical switches in the in halftime, where he got more players to drop into the half, drop in deeper, and meet England player for player. He also got his defenders making late runs, which also gave England a couple of additional worries. And more importantly, England conceded possession, and more importantly, every time England had possession, they didn't have an outlet, right? Because they did not have enough attacking players. They did not have enough players who could take the ball and, make the right plays. They were, at one point in time, Maguire was just heaving the ball up front and hoping Kane would get to it. So, Southgate took pragmatism, which is never a bad approach in a cup final, especially for a cup final like Euros. But he took it and made it a completely negative approach, where he had at no point after the first goal even came close to scoring a goal, right? And that's really not how you should be representing yourself with the kind of talent that you have and with the kind of options that you have. And to start off with that in itself, and then specifically extra credit to Mancini for his substitutions. Because the substitution and the changes he made were clear, right? They wanted to win this game, and they wanted to win this game in 90 minutes. England substitutions were non-existent. The ones that
we'll get to those in a moment, Vishal, because as the night wore on, we were talking about the fact that why is he not using those substitutions? It's almost as if those fantasy football players who select a team and then forget to use the substitutes and time.
Yeah, that's me.
I've done that.
He was almost playing on those lines. But to bring your viewpoint in here, Karan, as the resident Azuri expert on the podcast, what was the difference in the second half? Because in the first half, again, just like the Spain game, it looked like Italy initially were slightly unsettled. They were not really finding their shape. They're probably not ready for the emotion that England had and Southgate had thrown at them.
I think the biggest thing was, like Vishal said, Mancini identified where Italy were going wrong in the first half. And we've said this throughout the tournament, probably the one weak link that Italy have in their squad was that they did not have a dependable striker. And again, Immobile yesterday, barring maybe one or two occasions, wasn't really threatening. So what
occasions is being generous on him.
Exactly. I was actually trying to be nice there. But so basically what he does is, at the first chance that he gets in the second half, he takes Immobile off, brings Berardi on, who is far more mobile, far younger. He pushes him off to the wings, switches Chiesa to the other wing so that he can cut in and take his shots. And what he does is he asks Insigne to play down the middle. And Insigne is a far, far more dynamic player than Immobile. So this completely stretched the English defense to such an extent where, they were struggling to kind of cope for a good portion of the game. And England, on their end, they just did not, one thing is they did not take advantage of the early form that they showed, scoring early, yes, but barring probably maybe 15 minutes, the first 10-15 minutes, they never really showed any sort of intent other than that. In fact, what's shocking is we had someone like Raheem Sterling, who has been in such good form throughout this tournament, and the one area in the Italian defense which you could say comparatively was relatively weak was on the right side with Di Lorenzo, and Sterling at no point of time ran towards him with the ball, which I felt that they could have kind of maybe tried to expose Di Lorenzo more. The only goal, the goal that England scored was one where like Vishal said, basically they scored from behind, and we all know that because of the age that Chiellini and Bonucci are, the one thing that they cannot do is play with the ball behind them. So they always made sure that it was in front of them.
And
I think England
the classic
into that, right? Just to
advice of use the flanks. That's what England did not do.
It makes no sense, because if you really look at this, Spain had really drawn out the blueprint of how to beat this Italian team, right? They actually put Morata on the bench and came at them with pace and speed. And that's really all you needed to do against this Italian team, because as great as Chiellini and Bonucci are, they do not have the legs anymore, right? And that's what England should have taken advantage of. And the irony is they have all the talent to take advantage of that. And they just did not at any point in time make those changes or make those adjustments to even go at them. So I think they just played into what Mancini could have ever wanted out of this game from a starting level.
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking that the kind of the wealth of attacking talent and creative talent that Southgate had at his disposal, he has virtually not used them at all. I mean, Grealish was just used in extra time predominantly in this tournament in the critical phases. Sancho is hardly featured. Rashford is hardly featured. Foden here and there is featured.
He was
injured for this game, so fair enough. I think we can let that pass. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, you have such wealth of talent, why not use it?
As luck would have it, I mean, this was they really had nothing to lose. This was the worst outcome possible. So Southgate could have gone in with a little more dynamism in terms of trying to seize the day instead of waiting for the day to come to you.
Yeah. And in fact, we were talking earlier, right?
Yeah,
we were talking earlier, right?
So, like, the best part of this whole thing was there was two clear approaches from a manager, right? Mancini made close to 4 attacking changes, and Southgate made only 2 changes. I refuse to count the other 2. So Southgate made 2 changes. One was to again strengthen defense, right? And so there was one manager who was clearly thinking, listen, worst case scenario, I lose this, but I'm going to go out there, play and try and win this, right? And there was one manager who had completely said, I am not going to lose this game and I'm going to not give my take that chance, right? And if Southgate would have taken that chance, I think there was a good likelihood that they would have come out on top in this whole game.
Yeah, and I think the point I was wanting to make is what we were talking about earlier, that this was kind of like the mirror image of the Italian 90 game between Italy and Argentina, where Italy were basically what England were yesterday, where they scored the first goal early and then they just stopped, they panicked for some reason and they just got
a little cagey and incidentally, they're coming off similar streaks, had not conceded a goal till that point. I mean, if you discount the set-piece goal England conceded against Denmark, Italy also had not conceded till that point. And as the game wore on, they became cagier and cagier. And like you said, Karan, eventually ended up conceding. Amazingly, at the same time, the 67th minute is when Claudio Caniggia scored the goal for Argentina.
I did not know that. Leave it to you to give us that little zinger of a stat.
But this brings us to the end game of this.
Wow.
Because as time wore on, clearly with extra time, it looked like Southgate and England had thought that it's eventually going to be penalties, which means individual performances or individual actions are going to have a magnified impact on the eventual result. One of the individuals who would have been relied to have that huge impact was Jordan Pickford, and he did throughout the game. He kept England in the game in the first place. It could have been over in those 90, like you were saying, if Pickford had not put in a terrific performance. And once the penalties rolled around, he continued that. But in terms of
It was a great, great performance from both the goalkeepers. The best in a long, long time from 2 goalkeepers, because all 5 penalties were saved. Except Rashford, who hit the post. The 4 penalties were saved. So that was excellent.
And and among the 4 penalties, I mean, the keepers essentially split 2 each. So all the saves were keepers' saves. But this is where obviously the biggest decision of the night probably came back to haunt England and Southgate, and obviously not necessarily directly a fault of the players. And analyzing penalties is kind of trying to analyze a game of crapshoot, because there is so much other factors involved that you really can't do any meaningful analysis there. But eventually the fact that there were people who had basically barely warmed up being on the field. Karan, you were pointing out that if that corner had not happened, Sancho and Rashford do not get subbed on. They got subbed on during the corner. So you were saying that what if Italy had scored from the
corner. It would have been meaningless. And believe it or not, here's the other weird part, right? Fair enough, they got subbed on. There was still about, I think, a minute left to play after that corner. Rashford was playing at right back.
So, Vishal, you were saying that lack of planning and the fact that they were just thrust into this in that format had a little bit of an impact on how Rashford even took the penalty.
No, absolutely, right? Because that's a situation of where your manager is setting you up to fail. Because as if anybody who's actually played football will also know the fact that taking a penalty is not about just placing the ball and coming down and striking the ball, right? It actually plays in your mind. And what plays in your mind is what you've been through the game, right? If you look at how Kane takes a penalty or how Maguire took a penalty, right? At a base level, they had a clear understanding of what Donnarumma's style of keeping was through the game. They've observed him for 90 minutes, right? They understand his movements. They understand what he's possibly about to do, right? And that helps. And over and above that, the simple fact of muscle memory, right? Like, you can never discount muscle memory, right? Because the longer you play, your muscle does a large part of your work once you take a penalty. And if you think about Rashford, and if you look at any of his penalties that he's taken, and he's taken some high-pressure penalties, right? Like, be it the PSG quarterfinals. So he's taken some really high-pressure penalties and never really overthought it this much, right? Like, you could see the boy overthinking every move of it. And while he sent the goalkeeper the wrong way, he thought about it so much that he tried to be too perfect in the penalty, right? Which is why he hit the post as well, because he wanted that corner. And that's purely a factor of just coming on and not having enough, you know, not even broken a sweat really, right? And that's not a fair situation to put in. That you could see that in Sancho as well, because Sancho for Dortmund is a great penalty taker, has taken some excellent penalties through his career and is generally a calm and collected penalty taker. But even him, he took a very bad penalty actually. Like, forget even... this thing, he took a, I think it was the easiest of Donnarumma's.
Yeah, right? it was almost right at him. Effectively saves practice for Donnarumma, given his size, reach and everything else.
Absolutely. So I just think it was poor management, poor timing of substitution, and more importantly, just thrust them on penalties 1 minute before the end is not the way set them up to fail basically.
And
Sidin
Vadukut had pointed out on Twitter during the semi-final, I think, that trying to win with just one sub. I mean, what is this? The hunt for Red October? So,
Tom Clancy would be proud.
So that. Anyway, that was the match, but eventually the result being that this Italy team now has a trophy to their name. Quick word, gentlemen, on where do Italy head next? Surely, I mean, with this form, they better be at Qatar.
And absolutely. One, I think they will be at Qatar, but more importantly, they need to treat this as a springboard, right? Italy cannot get comfortable. Because the latter half of this tournament still kind of showed where their weakness lies and where they could be exploited, right? Well, depth of the bench is one thing that they definitely need to fix. And they definitely need to find themselves a good world-class striker who's going to take the chances that is created. Because Immobile and Berardi, while they're good, they're not going to necessarily cut it at the World Cup, because you're also going to have other teams from South America coming at you. So it's not going to really cut it, and it's not going to be as seamless a path. So a springboard for them, it gives them the right level of confidence. I hope both Chiellini and Bonucci come back for the World Cup, because what they've shown over here is age, yes, but experience cannot be matched. And it was just a joy to watch some old school defending, putting aside all the nonsense of defenders wanting to be Maradona. So it was really happy. Good to see them, and a great start for the journey, because they cannot treat this as success. They need to treat this as springboard and build from here.
Right. Yep, I agree. I think there's definitely a lot of positives for Italy. Not just the fact that they won it, but you just look at the number of players, the number of young players who actually didn't make the squad. You have players like Tonali, who's one of the most coveted players last season. You had somebody like Zaniolo, who definitely would have made the squad if not for his second ACL injury in like 2 years. You have Moise Kean, who hasn't made the squad. You have Romagnoli, who's the next in the long, long, long line of, you know, Italian centre-backs to come through the ranks. So there's definitely a huge conveyor belt of good young talent coming up in Italy. It's about how well they're able to mold them. The only issue, like Vishal said, is up front, where they seem to be lacking a little bit.
I think they
definitely should make Qatar.
All right. So, and that, gentlemen, brings the curtains down on what has been a long and sometimes even personally difficult football season for Soccer Sense overall, not just because of the performance of the teams, but I think Vishal and I discussed on an episode where that it has been kind of hard to follow football, which the Euro tournament kind of slightly made life a little easier. Everybody was interested in football again. Everybody was invested in football again. And it's quite poetic that it comes to an end with this finally, with some amount of celebration that we can have now for a team that we have cheered for quite a while. And this is the first time any major honor for Italy in the existence of soccer since.
Yep.
Absolutely. It's a great moment. It made me very happy. It made me really happy.
So there it is, the entire episode of that 2017 one, which when I post this episode, I will also link to.
Yes.
Because
but Italy, please don't take this as a challenge and screw with us. Please just do your job.
We should remember the entire
That's Italy for you.
When we talk about Italy and football, actually. That's all the time we have for in this episode. You can find us on Twitter at SenseSoccer and any other podcasting platform that you use. Search for us under Soccer Sense. This is Tariq signing off along with Karan and Vishal.